Hey, this is Stephanie, and you're listening to another episode of Color Me In. Today's episode is going to be really interesting because both my guests and I are running on like 3 to 4 hours of sleep. I guess we'll just get started. This week, I want to give a shout out to a couple of bands that I've been listening to a lot. One's called The Maples, and they're from Laredo, Texas. Josh is a singer and main songwriter for that band, and I believe he owns Blade Records too, and they do a lot of cassette tape releases. They did a cassette tape release for that Gizzard album that they released for free, and also did some WAN stuff. Who do I have sitting next to me?
Jamie Clark. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Jamie Clark.
Jamie L.
I do comedy. Comedy boy. Yeah, the middle initial is slowly because everyone else forgets it for the most part. So I was just like, okay, I'm going to forget it then as well.
Your dad's name is James.
Yeah,
Clark.
So is mine legally. My legal name is James L. Clark II, but we don't talk about that. it's been a thing, like, since I was a kid. I think two people have called me James, and then my parents had to be like, he doesn't go by that. Like,
he's Jamie.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not James, you're Jamie.
No, I think an ex-girlfriend tried to call me James once, and we both were just like, this is wrong. This is not what we're doing. This is weird.
Uh-oh.
It was.
She's an ex for a reason.
Right, exactly.
Oops.
Too formal.
Cool.
Feel pressure. I had to learn how to tie a bow tie. It was weird.
What?
Yeah. No, I'm being facetious.
Oh. I was like, oof. Cool. Just gonna get started.
I guess so.
Great start.
You nailed it.
Wait, so you do comedy.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
I've been doing comedy for, I think, close to 3 years now, actually. I don't actually know how long I've been doing it.
Mm-hmm. You did after you moved back from
Scotland,
right?
Yeah, from Scotland.
Yeah.
And then, which it was about 3 years ago, I think.
Jamie's worldly.
Yeah, I'm a very worldly person. I've been to too many places, and I literally forget where I've been.
Yeah, tell me what your parents do. Or tell me one, because I know.
I still don't know what they do. Because my dad's one of those people who has owned a magic shop and
he does
teaches
magic,
scuba diving and all that stuff.
So in Mexico?
Yeah, in Cozumel. So it's one of those
things. And when you were in Scotland, he was running a fair, right?
We called it a family fun park. So it was basically one of those kind of recreation things. Uh-huh. We had bouncy pillows, which are essentially trampolines filled with air that are in the ground, and so you can bounce on them. They're
the ones that you blow up?
Yeah.
Like the bouncy houses?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a bouncy house, but it's like in the ground. It's like a pillow. Yeah, they're really cool.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Actually, we had the largest one in the UK at one point. I think someone has now surpassed us. But, but it was really, yeah, it was weird. Me and my family just do things.
Yeah, your dad, just a few times I've talked to him, he'll be like, yeah, I kind of just wanted to do this, and so I did.
Yeah, it's infuriating.
I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, well, right.
Because I have the similar mindset of just like, well, I should be able to just go do this.
Yeah.
And then I go do it, and I'm like, well, that wasn't what I wanted to do. And then, scuba diving, I just don't care about. And he's like, I love it. I'm like, tight. Like, now I'm just kind of cold now.
I, ask Walter. I'm like, hey, have you heard from Jamie? He's like, no, but I know his parents are, in Mexico again.
Yeah,
doing
they're
scuba diving.
Yeah,
and
always...
I'm like, fuck. And he's like, yeah, they've been there for, 3 months. And I'm like,
yeah, it's wild.
Cool.
I'm just hanging out. Yeah. I went down not too long ago and then got, an ear thing because you're – I don't know if you know this, but underwater – is just there's a lot of pressure on you.
Yeah. Yes.
Just a lot.
Yeah, I met you because my brothers are taking MMA lessons from you and your dad.
Yeah, that's
like
one more iron
thing.
In the fire.
Yeah.
I was a student instructor for that. So no, I'm the only people are so weirded out by that because if you've seen me do comedy or whatever, it's like I'm super alty and weird and have weird premises and all this stuff. And then talking to people afterwards, we're like, wait, you taught people how to box? I'm like, yeah. They're like, that's not normal. You should. a redheaded, Morrissey haircut.
Ew,
you shouldn't be able to do that. That's
so
wild.
You do have the flu. You do have the.
Yeah, I have a little bit of the flu.
You just need the flowers and
a
button up.
There's a term for that
Halloween
haircut.
Halloween costume.
Oh, I just dressed up as Morrissey?
Yeah, we should do that this year.
Oh, that'd be too on the nose.
No,
I don't know. I want to do later Morrissey where you had a weird goatee.
That, no.
That's the Morrissey I want.
That's rough. Damn it. I'm pissed now. Get out.
So was he. Yeah, so was he.
He's always pissed.
I forgot what album it is, but he did an album, and the cover's just him in, like, a striped suit holding a gun, and it makes me laugh so hard. And then, like, if you read this, even just the tracks of that album, it is, like,
it's pretty.
It's
rough.
Like it's a parody album. Yeah, it's so funny, because it's like, I'm sad. Like, well, it's like, so, like, just, that's the name of the song. But he's holding a gun. It's so weirdly aggressive.
My favorite past activity, and you're the only one who gets it, is, like, I'll send you a text that's, like, I don't know, like, today I tripped and I cried, and you're like, New Morrissey song? And I'm like,
yeah, exactly. Just anything that sounds remotely. It's like you go either way from, like, Adam's Family to Morrissey.
And one time I think I sent you one, and you were like, is that actually a Morrissey album? And
it's
I
was genuinely like, hard to discern.
I've gotten so good at it that I can't tell.
One of my friends had this whole thing where he's like, I don't get why people love Morrissey's writing. He's like the most simplistic writer I've ever heard. He's like, I'm looking for a job, and then I found a job. He's like, it's immediate payoff. Yeah. There's nothing of substance there.
There's like a comic that's like, shut the fuck up, Morrissey, in that little panel.
I think there's a Matt Bronger has a thing about working out to Morrissey. Like, when in his first album or something like that. It's so funny, and I can't imagine that. I'm just like...
just crying while you're like
lifting to
weights.
Sleep.
Oh my gosh. Listens to sleep while doing cardio.
Oh man, God. That's amazing.
I hate that.
I want to do that now, but I want to like bring one of those like Beats pods, no. Like just play it out loud. I'm on a row machine, like at the Y.
It's so bad. Get out, Jamie. I'm pissed.
I'm gonna hit the sauna after this.
That's the ending track.
I'll
of
be
the
playing
album.
Depeche Mode in there if you want to hang
out. Perfect. Hey, I'll be there. I think like one of the first things that you and I talked about when we first met was like Depeche Mode or like
More
Mortar.
Than likely, yeah.
And I was just like, funny.
Because I'm like, I was like super into Joy Division as a teenager.
Yeah, I think actually it might have been Joy Division.
Maybe, because my cat's name is Curtis. I named him after Ian Curtis, yeah.
Because he's black and white.
He's black and white. Well, his full name is Ian Curtis Fluffy Pants.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but we call him Curtis because he's full of spite. And Curtis fits that energy.
He's going to start, like, dancing around your house in, like, trousers. Starts having
just
seizures.
In trousers.
Oops.
Just, dude, where did my cat get a trench coat? That's so weird.
I hate that. Bad.
That's fair. That's fair. You can't follow that.
Yeah. Do you just want to get started?
Let's get started. How do you want to lead this in? Do I just talk about something now?
Yeah. Whatever you want to talk about first.
All right. So I guess, I don't know. I have to decide which one I want to do first. I do a comedy album or just a sketch I saw on TV once. Which one do you think would be best to talk about?
Talk about your comedy album and a little bit about your comedy style. Because I've only been to your show once.
Yeah, you can do that. The Othello's
Mic.
You
do like 4 shows a week?
Give or take, yeah. I try to. Because I co-host the Sauced Comedy Night on Thursdays. Mm-hmm. Starts at 10:30.
Free admission?
Free admission. 21 plus because it is a bar. Mm-hmm. But it's that's been really fun as well because it's been getting me out of the house. And then, I've been
do
doing
public
like...
public access too, right?
Public access occasionally. I've been taking a break from that one because I felt the need to keep writing new material every time I went, which is good in a way, but then also I haven't been able to like work on my actual set.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that I have to be conscious about. Mm. And plus some other stuff of like, you know, not wanting to see ex-girlfriend's friends, like that type of thing. So I'm just like, I'm going to wait for like 3 months before I, you know, bounce back. So, I don't know. My comedy was sort of inspired by this comedian. So the album is God is a 12-year-old boy with Asperger's.
Oh, you were telling me about this.
By Eugene Merman, and it's...
I still haven't listened to it.
I don't know how I found it, but, like, I got really into comedy really early. I think I accidentally watched Comedians of Comedy, like, it was a Netflix thing, like, early Netflix, and I watched that, like, really young, and it's Zach Galifianakis, Patton Oswalt, Maria Bamford, and Brian Posehn just going on tour, and it's just, they're just the weirdest comics. Mm-hmm. And I remember being a kid being like, oh, this is amazing. Like, this is genuinely fantastic. And then Eugene came on that tour later because Zach Galifianakis had to drop out. I think that's how I found him. But this album, I don't know when it came out. I think it's like 2009. But it's just such a funny album and the writing in it. So the joke the titular joke of the album is that God is a 12-year-old boy with Asperger's just making up random rules and routines just to self-soothe, essentially, of like, you know, you can't eat horses. Like, we're not going to. Good, because you can't. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a lot of stuff like that. And at the end, he closes it with, like, a play that he wrote to basically say fuck you to Delta Airlines. But it's censored. You can't say Delta Airlines on the phone. But it's
Does it, like, beep?
Yeah, it beeps. But you clearly hear him say duh and at the end of the word. It's so, like, they put the minimum effort in to censor it. And it just sort of, like, I don't know, broadened my concept of comedy. Of, like, okay, so he's doing a comedy album and then has, like, a young Kumail Nanjiani come up on stage and read a play that he wrote about him trying to get his luggage back from Delta Airlines. And so hearing that at, like, however old I was when I heard it, it was just like, wow, like, this is amazing.
Where'd you find it?
Was
it
like, I don't know. I think I found it online.
Online? It's an audio. It's an album, right?
Yeah, it's an album. Okay. It's like 45 minutes or something like that.
So is it like music?
No, no, it's a comedy album, like stand-up. It's so...
My mind's like music album.
Yeah, no, my bad. No, it's a, yeah, it's a stand-up album, and it's it's so good.
Is it on Spotify?
Should be, yeah. Okay. I'm pretty sure all the stuff's on that.
Save it real quick. Cause
yeah, and for those for people who don't know, it's Eugene Merman, who does the voice of Gene and Bob's Burgers as well. That's where he's sort of most known for right now. And he's just so funny and way, way weirder than that character.
Like, you're saying a bit.
Like, he has another album. His last album came out. You could buy, like, a super deluxe edition of his album.
He looks like he would be the voice for...
Yeah, he's like a 7 foot tall Russian guy. Yeah, oh, he's amazing.
I just showed a picture to Jamie, and he's like, "Yeah."
Yep, it checks out. So his last album has like a super deluxe edition, which just includes a rocking chair. Wow. Yeah, and then like the one underneath that is a bathrobe. Like, he's just so weird. Yeah. I love him to death.
So it came out in 2009.
Yeah, that makes sense. I probably heard it when I was, like, 11 or 12. Or no.
That's interesting.
Like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know when I heard it. But I think I, like, just moved back to Oklahoma and I, like, found it online or something like that. I was like, whoa! Like, this is amazing! It was so good. And I've heard all of his albums since, and he's just so funny.
It's an interesting album cover.
Yeah, it's because he has two other ones before that, which are like look like real comedy albums, and this one comes out, it just looks like a dumb EP, like it's like really low art quality and it's grainy and it's weird, but it's still the best album I think I've heard comedy wise.
Yeah, the first one, the Absurd Nightclub Comedy of Eugene, looks like a Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, it's very like jazz based. Yeah, I love it. Like, it's so good. He's the best. I think his last special that came out was called Vegan on the Way to the Complain Store, and that's a really funny one. He closes that one out with paintings he just did. He's one of those comedians that like makes you realize like, oh, it's okay to do this idea I don't think will work, and that ends up working. He's one of those people that really sort of inspires that kind of thought process. Like, okay, it may not be quote unquote allowed, but it's allowed. Like, I can do whatever I want. It doesn't matter. That's really fun. And also just the fact that he has, like, a play that he wrote to close an album, and it's, like, the imagery is him calling Delta, and he's wrapped in an American flag. Like, he's just so random, and I love him very much.
Is he still alive? Yeah, because you said he was doing the...
Yeah, no, he's still around. Yeah, he's great.
Eugene.
Yeah, Eugene Merman. He's on that, and he, like, tours a bunch. He was actually in Tulsa, like, last year or so, at Blue Hill Comedy Festival, which I wanted to go see him because he's, like, my favorite, but I didn't get a chance to. He's amazing, and I love that album so much. The next one is kind of a weird one. So I was a huge fan of David Letterman as a kid.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I love David Letterman. I have, like, a weird obsession with late-night talk shows. And, like, I've read all of the books about, like, Conan versus Jay Leno and Letterman versus Jay Leno.
Yeah, I've noticed that you really like late-night show talk.
I don't know if I love the format of it because I don't watch it. I, like, watch Conan tapes because Conan's great. But, like, I don't sit down and watch a late-night talk show. Mm-hmm. Like, I have zero interest in it. I'm not going to watch Fallon. I've never seen a full episode of James Corden. Even though I'm a fan of most of his writers, I've not actually watched his show. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what it is. I have like, an obsession with the politics behind it. It's, like, how people, like, research Watergate Like, it's like that type thing. Because it's like this specific incident happened, and now we have stuff 20 years apart happening. It's really interesting to me. But so the thing that inspired me with this particularly was I remember watching this live on TV, which is on David Letterman's show. He saw how many people he could fit into a Jamba Juice that were dressed like Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And just sent people dressed like Spider-Man into a Jamba Juice in the middle of New York.
I feel like that's something you'd do, too.
Yeah, like I feel like it's very much like that, it's very, very inspiring to me. I don't know why, because it's totally, it's innocuous. It's not going to hurt anybody. Yeah. And now you have, like, 35 people dressed like Spider-Man in a very confined space. Yeah. And then he ends it with, like, he just sends a person dressed as as Superman, a prince, or a princess, rather. And, like, a dog and Dracula. Like, you just start sending just different people dressed like stuff. And it's the funniest thing I think I've ever seen. Because it's just, like, again, like, 50, I think he sends 50 people into a Jamba Juice. Which, I'm guessing the occupancy is, like, 25 people.
Yeah, I mean, like...
And it's New York.
Rest in peace, Jamba Juice on Alameda and 12.
Yeah, no, I tried to, like, it's like a 3 weeks ago. Is someone
it's
filled
like
that out?
It's like a fucking candy. Like, the next day, it was a candy shop. And
that's wild.
I was so pissed.
But what a replacement for a Jamba Juice, too. It's a candy shop. Yeah.
Well, they have the Tropical Cafe in front of it, and that's probably what I know out of business.
Oh, okay.
That has a drive-thru. And you
that.
I was going through that drive-thru.
Yeah. No, because, like, 3 weeks ago, I was like, you know what I want? I want Jamba Juice. Like, it's 2010 again. You know what I mean? I was like, I was going to go get it. And then I get there, and it's closed. I was like, well, I guess I'm getting Little Caesars, because that's next door.
Everyone in Norman is like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. Right to the five people in Norman. Us later.
Yeah, us later.
I know that.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, I remember that. Is it by a Panda Garden, too? No, yeah. Panda Garden.
No, Panda Garden. Yeah, it's right around the corner. And then the dollar store.
I go to the H&R Block to get my taxes.
Oh, no kidding. I forgot there's an H&R Block over there. Of course there is.
Yeah,
of course there is.
It's so surreal to me that the Blockbuster...
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
There's Jimmy's eggs.
I forgot that there was... Oh, my God. I forgot there was a Blockbuster. I never went to that one. I went to the one that was that used to be the Baguette Place near Norman High.
The Baguette Place?
Yeah, do you not remember that?
It's the
yellow... Yeah.
When?
Yeah, right?
What?
It's, like, right across from the Radio Shack, like, right next to that, where that used to be.
A Radio Shack?
Yeah. Oh, my God. This is the oldest conversation I've ever had. Do you remember the Blockbuster next to the Radio Shack?
Was it kind of by, like, the FedEx?
There was that one. I'm talking about the one right across from Norman High, where the Walgreens is. So you've got the Walgreens, and then Kitty Corner to that used to be a Blockbuster. Right next to the CVS, yeah. Because there's always going to be a CVS next to Walgreens.
Wait, is it where, like, what's it called? The bagel places now?
Yes, that one, yes.
Oh, I don't remember
that. Yeah,
that used to be a
Blockbuster. Now it's a bagel place.
It's a bagel place and also, like, a foreign candy.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Lomans, I think is what it's called.
Also a weird name for that. That's
Oh, shit, you're right. There was a Blockbuster.
Yeah, there we go. I'm glad we got there.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
I remember going to Blockbuster and, like, renting video games. That's, like, all I did there. And I rented there's a Punisher video game, which was really violent.
Yeah, I know about Punisher.
I'm not a fan now, and I wasn't really a fan then, but it was, like, a fun video game, at least. I liked how it felt. And so I would play that, and I would listen to Congratulations by MGMT on repeat.
My God.
So, like,
I
have
so
such a strange relationship with that album, because when I do, I just imagine, like, fucking the Punisher killing people. It's the weirdest thing. Yeah, it's, like, such a...
So when you're
just
at
Siberian
the MGMT
breaks.
Show...
Yeah. That's right, I'm just going to be imagining Frank Castle.
I hate that.
Just get mafia hits. That's going to be a great show, by the way, the MGMT
Everyone I know is going to the
show. Oh, you're not
show.
Going?
I'm not going.
Oh, that's a
I'm
shame.
Broke, and I also don't listen to MGMT.
See, that's two things that are bad.
fine, whatever.
And to be honest, it's not on the list, but that album, Congratulations by MGMT, is...
You are, like, one of my associations with MGMT.
Yeah, it's such a good album. Because they were really heavily connected to that first album, Ocular Spectacular, which is... what made them money and got them famous and all that stuff. Because they're great pop songs.
Yeah.
But with Congratulations, it's their second album, and you just clearly are hearing them being like, we made those to fuck around. Mm-hmm. This is us, like, we're going to do what we listen to. Like, we're going to make what we like and stuff. Yeah. And clearly, like, they even have a song called Brian Eno on it. They're just, like, it's just all references. And that album and then Little Dark Age are all have like just stuff thrown in of like, this is what we were listening to when we were making this album.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's like reggae. They just like name a song Bill Murray, you know?
Oh my gosh.
It's great.
I love that.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm trying to, I'd rather go to the Montreal one because I kind of.
I've seen them twice.
Yeah, you've seen them. Yeah, I haven't seen them. And I like missed them during the era. I wish I could have seen them.
Yeah, it was really, I think I saw them at like 15, and I was like smack dab in the front, in the middle.
Yeah.
Like, so there
was it the one in England? I think you said you saw them in England. Too.
No, I never saw them when I was over there. Oh. It was here. It was at the ACM.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it was ages ago.
Damn.
So they came through, French Horn Rebellion opened for them, and I ended up just hanging out with them for like the show. It was great.
Wow.
And then, yeah, I was like smack dab in the middle, and then their like performers that would come in like dressed like flies would only fuck with me because I was in the only little opening on the stage because it was like so full of gear.
Yeah.
And so the whole show, I was just like getting my hair ruffled up by like a woman dressed like
me.
A fly.
Yeah.
I was like, this
I
is
totally
great.
Really,
this is so much
oh my
fun.
God.
And at 15, just any attention's good. So I was like, yeah. And then as the show went on, I ended
Wait,
up getting
did
like.
Did I meet you when you were 15? You're doing
No. Because I met your. I met your brothers when I was like 17, 18.
Okay, so I met you around 17, 18.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was a little bit older. No, because back then I was like just, I think I was in some bands at that point, but I don't know. I ended up quitting all those because I didn't like being in bands. So,
yeah, we talked about this. Yeah,
I played drums and I was just, what ended up happening, I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. And then I did stand up like twice and then was like, I want to do this, but it's not good. It's not fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that snowballed and then I kept doing that, obviously. Otherwise, I'd still be drumming in a band, I'm sure, but they wanted to do modern baseball covers, and I was like,
"Yeah,
I like LCD Sound System.
Yeah, we should just start an LCD Sound System cover band.
I'm okay with that, honestly.
Cool.
I've
got a synth.
I have a synth. I can play drums, and I don't have any, but I can play them for you.
Perfect. I love it.
We just have to turn 30 and get real sad, and then that'll...
Halfway there.
Yeah, that'll... speaking of LCD Sound System, so... They're arguably my favorite band, like just so good. And the other day I was watching you know this.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching a James Murphy like Red Bull Academy music lecture, and it's just which is just him like listening to Yes and Con going like this is good, and which is just it's just like indeed, I agree with these.
Oh.
And then the guy doing the interview just seems bored. It's so funny, but. I was watching that. I was like, you know what? I really like those shoes James Murphy's wearing.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I found them. I still don't know how to pronounce them.
I will take a picture. Here, I'll take a picture,
For the pod.
Now, and then I'll post it on...
Let's point that toe out.
The
They're just white sneakers. I had a pair similar to them before. But I just saw them. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to buy these James Murphy shoes.
Can you say cheese, James?
Cheese, James Murphy.
Cool. I got you saying cheese. They came up blurry, Jim.
So, that's
blurry,
to be honest, that's captured my essence.
not blurry.
There we go. But yeah, like that's how much I like have an affinity for LCD Sound System and James Murphy is that I just bought shoes because I saw he wore them.
Yeah.
And what's funny is now these are legitimately my favorite shoes. Like I think I'm gonna actually make these.
I can't wear white shoes. I'm too clumsy. Like my look at my dogs. They're also like...
right. No, I'm sure these will be. Gone in
Where'd you find
two
them?
Weeks online. You just Google it. It took me a minute because I didn't have any good quality video of it, so I was like, what is that? FEIYUE. I don't. I still don't know how to pronounce
James
it.
Murphy white shoes.
I tried that. It didn't quite work. But then later on, I found like multiple Reddits.
Yeah, I was
designated
say
to James Murphy's shoes. I was like, okay, at least I'm not this level.
Oh my god.
I'm not any better, but I'm not the one that's writing
to
this.
Shoes, too, if I'm honest.
I don't know why. I was like, you know what? I want those.
That's so funny. I told you this on the way up here because we were talking about this. But I had two people message me and were like, I almost bought those after I saw
I love that.
Too. And I was pissed.
We should start a band with them. Yeah. You genuinely were like, yes. That's what that was. Amazing. just the concept. You're in. You're like, I have other plans to make.
No, there's a joke. I'll tell you after we finish
okay.
recording.
Off pod.
Off pod.
LCD Sound System is like just a huge inspiration. Like everything that they've made, but particularly This Is Happening is just such a good, like, I guess, milestone of when I heard it. Because I think I heard it when I was like 15, 16. And clearly I didn't understand all of it because I wasn't going through my 40s. Because that's what that album's about, is him in his 40s going, this is it. Like, we're done.
I feel like I'm only 21, but I already relate to that. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah, and because I'm 22, and that's, like, some weird life stuff's happened over the last few months. Yeah. And it's going to the point where I'm like, I understand the exhaustion in some of his songs. Because that's generally what
half
it is.
Half of his,
like,
age, and I feel his exhaustion.
Exactly. I'm 40. So I'm, like, in my 40s and DJing at Ibiza. I'm tired. That's what that album's about. Yeah. You know? Like, yeah, I got to go
that's
home.
It's like all the LCD albums. <Yeah. laughs>
I took too much Molly in Ibiza, and then we played badminton.
And then I looked at myself in the mirror while taking acid, and I was like, damn, I'm old.
Right. That's what I love about the documentary. Yeah. That documentary, it just, like, opens with him shaving. And it's just, like, a four-minute shot of him listening to voicemails while shaving. And I was like, ugh.
That gave me chest pain.
Yeah. I'm like, this is not. Woof. What's funny is I watched that day. I shaved my beard off. I'm like, I gotta like nip this in the bud because I don't want to have that scene. It was real weird to me. I don't know why. I'm also the person that, like, freaked out while watching Marie Kondo on Netflix. Mm. Of, like, whatever. It was the first episode, and I was watching it, and the husband was, like, having a complete meltdown of just being a suburban dad. Of, like, it's just too much. And I watched that. I was texting my ex-girlfriend at the time. I'm like, yeah, no, I can't do this. I can't do this. Like,
stuff like that is really hard to watch. Yeah. It's too close to home.
For sure. And I feel like that kind of crosses over into that feeling of most things James Murphy's written of, I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready to get this old this quickly. I'm not ready to travel or go home. Like, I just don't know where I'm supposed to be right now. But the difference is we're in our 20s and he was an adult man, which is terrifying because if he's getting that then, we're not in for a good time.
Yeah. Or maybe we are just hitting it earlier and we have
that's
more
a good
time
point.
To handle it.
That's a fantastic point. But yeah, this is Happening is just a perfect album to me.
So a lot of it just, like, resonated with you lyrically?
Yeah. Specifically lyrically, he's just so, like, I don't know if we have, like, a similar thought process or anything like that, but there's a lot of lyrics he has that are just really over the plate for me. Like, All My Friends is, I think, my favorite song of all time.
Yeah, when I found LCD Sound System, I don't know how old. I was in high school. Mm-hmm. So probably, like, around the time you said we met around 18, 19. Mm-hmm. So I was probably, like, 17.
Yeah.
16, so that's sophomore, junior in high school?
Just about, yeah.
So I found them, I think, entering high school.
Right, which I think is a good time for that.
Oh, yeah.
Especially their first album. Their self-titled one.
Right when I was getting into, like, Depeche Mode and, like, that dancey, synthy stuff, and I was like, holy fuck, this is happening now. Well, which I don't think it was, because that's when they broke up.
That was
it was just, like, around that time, and it was, like, the lyrics spoke so much to me, because it was around that time. This is going to sound super, like, angsty, but it was around
the
time.
Point.
It really is a point, but it was, like, right when I was getting picked on for listening to that type of music, but, like, 2 years later, it was
all
cool to listen
to that.
And I was like, I was so fucking pissed, and I was like, I am James
Murphy,
that sucks. I really
am. Well, what's funny is this is the most annoying thing I'm ever going to say. I showed all of my friends Mac DeMarco.
You told me this, yeah.
Yeah, like really early on, because I just, like, found him on YouTube. I was just like, dude, this guy's awesome. And then all of them took on the identity of Mac DeMarco fans. I was like, this is annoying.
I worked the door at the Mac DeMarco show.
Just, I'm sure it smelled.
No, actually, it didn't smell. I was super surprised,
I feel like Mac DeMarco would be the type of person that, like, smells okay. Like, you know, you can tell he'd wash, he just dresses kind of. It's his fans, I feel like, are going to be, you know.
They were, like, a lot of them were wearing, like, those construction boots and, like, overalls and, like.
Hell yeah.
I was just like.
You're describing me.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
But yours is, like, I don't know. It's different.
I'll take it.
I don't look at you and say, I think he listens to fucking Mac DeMarco.
Right.
But
I do. Actually, I've not listened to Mac DeMarco in, like, a minute, but.
Yeah.
My dad likes Mac DeMarco now.
Your
I, like,
dad
showed
likes
my dad. Yeah, like, Stars Keep on Calling My Name. And he's like, this is a good song.
I love your dad.
He's wild. But also, he, like, listens to Avril Lavigne. I don't know where he's wild. I don't understand him.
He's a wild card. I'm not like other dads.
Oh, my God. Sexy dad. I'm not Stop. Like other dads.
Stop. No, what's you posted a picture of your dad and I think he was naked.
What?
Or maybe he wasn't like he was maybe not naked, but he was like,
I don't remember this. Did I? That's not
I
good.
Think so. Or he was like in his undies. Something happened and it just really got me.
I don't I know remember. What this was.
Maybe you tweeted about it. I can't remember. No, I don't know what
I don't
you did.
Know. He does a lot of things that are very confusing.
And yeah,
very
and it just like really got me because I'm like, that's so Jamie's dad.
Yeah. That's no, like, not that I'm ever gonna do it, but if I ever had like a sitcom, that's just what it would be. It's just like these are stories my dad and I have. Like, the yeah, just anyway.
I don't know your mom very well, so I, like
my mom
is
just is
she
me.
Just, like okay,
like legitimately is just another version
two
of
Jamies
me.
And what's James?
I have one of my best friends in Scotland, Megan McGill. Shout out, she's a comic in Scotland. She. Is also another version of me, and mm-hmm. she's also very good friends with my mom. Like mm-hmm. we're all just very close, and them in a room with me is overwhelming because it's basically I'm like just looking in a mirror. I'm seeing like my mother, which is me, and my best friend, who is also me,
That's
but
weird.
The worst parts of me. And so we were like we'd hang out all the time, and we like even went on a road trip around Europe. And I was just like, I want to die, like I want out.
Was your dad just like, this is too much?
Dad was just driving and not like he was doing the typical dad road trip thing of just like zoned out.
That's me.
And then would talk about World War II. Yeah,
that's me.
Yeah.
Your dad and I
actually,
are
this ties
person.
Into that. So on that road trip, we would listen to. A couple albums I had like burned CDs because it's Europe and they're like 10 years behind. so I burned off these CDs and it was like both of the Avalanches albums, which the Avalanches are also like some of my favorite music period. And then this album, which is it's another stand up album, Freak Wharf by Paul F. Tompkins, which I think is the first time I ever listened to stand up and said, I want to do this. Mm. Of like, This is something I want to do because it's so he's so funny and he's such a good writer, and the album opens with him just doing improv. So he gets on stage, says thank you, all that stuff, and then he just riffs. I think he has two different tracks or like 3 or 4 minutes of just him riffing, and it's hilarious. Like it feels like his written material, but he's just like talking about. I think he talks about a water bottle for like 4 minutes. It's great. Like he's
Amazing.
So funny, and. I don't know what it is, but, like, just the feeling of the album as well is such a unique-sounding album to me. Because I don't know where it was recorded, but it's in this, like, small theater, and it just feels really intimate, and there's, like, a weird fuzz around the audience when they're laughing. And so it's such a weird, specific thing and, like, a very, like, audio nerd thing to get into. But, like, just the feel of the album, it feels older than it actually is. Mm. But he's such a good writer, so it's, like, his... stuff is timeless in it and I just remember listening to that and being like fuck this is so like I want to do this and that album we just played when we were driving around France and it's such a weird thing and a weird memory to have as well and it's but it's just such a perfect album and then the cover is him in like a old-timey sailor suit with like a you know like a captain's cap on and he's so good. Paul Tompkins is like I think the one of the first weird comedians I saw. Or not weird, like someone who wasn't Eddie Murphy. Like I saw him on Comedy Central at like midnight at a friend's house. I was like, who's this? Like this guy. And then he's been my favorite ever since.
Cool.
But as far as like feeling on that album, the only other album I've heard that feels like that is one of Rory Scovel's album, who he's like one of the new comedians that I found of like as I got into comedy. I've just been like, this guy made an audience just keep clapping for his whole set. That, you know, his album like that really felt like that. And then Rhea Butcher, who's a very good friend of Paul F. Tompkins as well, is just really, like, their albums all kind of feel the same way. Of just, like, that's that energy and is so good. That really made me, was like, fuck, I gotta do comedy. Like, it makes me want to be a better comic for sure.
Yeah.
It's such a good album. Freak Wharf by Paul F. Tompkins is great. I don't know what else I have. This is a fun one. The audiobook for the second book in the Hitchhiker's Guide series by Douglas Adams. It's called Restaurant.
Wait. Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah.
Is that the one about, I think DeLorean and Jamie talked about this on their podcast. Is that the one where the lawyer and the, I'm mixing up my stuff. No, I'm mixing up my stuff.
I don't know, a lawyer. No, it's about the, like a guy who works for the radio, his friend comes and is like, hey, let's go to the bar really quick. He's like, why? He's like, the world's about to end. He's like, okay, this is weird.
Yeah, and not then, it then.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
I think you're crossing your wires.
No, yeah, the story's like, the world is getting blown up because these aliens are making basically a highway, and the Earth is in the way. That's like essentially the premise. That's the inciting incident. And then his friend, who turned out to be an alien the whole time, was like, all right, let's bounce. And then
spoilers.
Yeah, and then they hitchhike throughout the galaxy type thing. And there's like four or five books. But particularly the second one, it's called The Restaurant at the End of the Universe. And it's a great book anyway, but the audiobook read by the author, Douglas Adams, is one of the funniest things I've ever heard. It's so funny, and to hear him do the characters, because he was like kind of a sketch writer, like was involved with Monty Python, stuff like that, so it's very funny, and also science fiction. I'm sure I'm not the first white dude with glasses to talk about how good Douglas Adams is. And it's like, oh, it's really funny, but also smart. but it is, and it's a great, but the audiobook is just so funny, because there's a scene where it's him just talking about like how the space-time continuum works, but the character's drunk. It's so funny. And it's like there's just like rambling things and weird bits, and I would listen to that nonstop from like 10 to like 13. So that was just like what I would listen to. I would listen to all the same audiobooks all the time, and that was one of them, just like, this character is so funny. Like, yes, I love it so much. Do you listen to audiobooks at all?
I don't. You don't? I want to, but I feel like those are the types of things I really need to like sit down and like focus on so I don't miss it. And I feel like doing that while driving is just like not
I don't know, it depends.
Viable for me.
I don't know. Cuz I got Audible not too long ago cuz I just listen to audiobooks all the time. And yeah, I've just been like knocking out all these books. Cuz I'd listen to like 24-hour long audiobooks and just like blow through them like it was nothing. The audiobooks are awesome to me. I love them. They're also such a unique piece of art. Star Wars audiobooks.
I think I like texted
too.
You crying one day. I was like, I want to do things, but I don't have time. And I'm like, just listen to audiobooks.
Always. Yeah. Always audiobooks.
You're like, just listen to audiobooks.
And the thing is, like, you can just rewind it. If you miss something, you can rewind it. Yeah. It's great. Another thing I like really respect, it's not on my list, but like Star Wars audiobooks are amazing. Like, they're radio plays, basically. And it's such a strange thing to be a fan of. Like, not the books, the audiobooks for Star Wars weird little novels.
Yeah.
There's one called Darth Plagueis, which is just so good. Like, it's just a Shakespeare play in Star Wars. It's awesome.
We should probably start listening to those. I think you'd like them.
Yeah, they're awesome. Yeah.
I forget that you know my brothers, because it's like, you and I talk more than...
Yeah, definitely.
You do to them, but, like, they're the reason I know you.
Right, that's so weird. Yeah, that's a fantastic point.
Walter was like, you stole my friend. And I was like, he chose me, Walter.
So I didn't want to hang out with a boy in high school.
Will you tell him that? I'll link him to this podcast. Because he's like, you keep stealing my friend. And I'm like, stop making friends with people my age then. Because they like me more.
There's a young comic. I won't say his name, but there's a young comic that hangs out with everybody. Oh. But I think he's 20 or like 19 or 20. So he can't do anything with us. Oh, so like we're going to go to the deli after the Othello show.
Yeah.
And then he just can't come in. And yeah, so it's one of those things where we're like having fun singing killer songs in the deli. And he's just like, okay, well, I'm going to go home. And we're like, sorry, bud. Give it a year. You know. Aww. Yeah,
bless
poor kid.
Comedy's fun. Better.
Yeah, it gets better. Right. Should I do a video game or a cartoon next?
I don't care. Should I...
Fair enough. I'll do the cartoon. So, have you heard of Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law?
No, I don't think so.
So, it was a cartoon that was on Adult Swim.
Oh my god.
Right? So, okay, so I got it when I first moved back to the States, first moved back to Oklahoma, I was like 8 or 9, and then I was just given a TV in my room. Just given one, and that was a mistake. Because also I was homeschooled and I had insomnia. Yeah.
I forgot you were.
I was homeschooled. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And I had insomnia, so I had a TV in my room. What else was I going to do? So I would watch cartoons, and then after 10, it would turn into Adult Swim, and so you have like an 8-year-old boy watching Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law,
Mr. and Mrs. Clark.
Yeah, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, Xavier Renegade Angel,
oh
which is
God.
the I still am not convinced it wasn't a fever dream of mine. Like, it's not right. And so I was watching all these, like, really weird fringe comedy things. Tim and Eric was another thing I would watch. At, like, again, like, way too young to be watching Tim and Eric stuff. Yeah. It was, like, Tom Goes to the Mayor or something. And, but what stuck with me in particular was Harvey Birdman, because the concept of it is that it's a cartoon based on a cartoon. So they reused, like, Hanna-Barbera characters and intellectual property. Mm-hmm. And so they took this really fringe, small cartoon that they did that wasn't very popular, took that character, and was like, okay, instead of a superhero now, he's an attorney. And he, like, defends Shaggy and Scooby from marijuana possession charges.
Oh, my god!
And
very,
like,
Adult Swim.
Yeah, like, it's very Adult Swim, yeah. And they're utilizing all the stuff. And I don't know what it was, but, like, law jokes mixed with just really eight years old, I was real into weed jokes.
Do you know what the weed handlers are called now that we have, like, medical marijuana?
No,
here?
What are they called?
Bud tenders.
Are you kidding me right now?
No, I'm not.
Are you fucking with me right now?
I wish.
I can't tell if I'm actually happy about that or if I'm really upset about that.
I was so pissed because my friend works as one.
Yeah.
And she's like, I love being a butt tender. And I looked at her and I blurted,
are you fucking
laughing
with me right now?
I was like, wait, is that really where you're calling? She's like, yeah.
Wow. That's hilarious. I
was pissed.
Wow. Wait until, like, something happens. We're like, we don't prefer that term anymore. I want to know what's
butt
next.
Tenders.
I want to know what the next one is. That's hilarious.
Butt tenders.
Butt tender. Shaggy from Scooby-Doo is definitely a butt tender.
Stop.
It's true. And that's why he's in the cartoon. No, I don't know what it was about that show, but I, like, loved it. And then they made a video game out of Harvey Birdman.
Yeah.
And I had a PSP, so I played that.
Oh, no.
And so it was, like, ages 8 to 12, my favorite cartoon. And still, kind of my favorite cartoon was just Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law. It's such a weird thing. I own, like, all of the seasons now, like, on Amazon. Like, I just bought them. Like, that's how much I love it. And it's such a weird show. And they just made a, like, a special. Like, they're, all the episodes are, like, either 5 minutes or, like, 10 minutes. They're all really short. And they made their first, like, half-hour episode recently where Harvey Birdman becomes the attorney general.
Oh, my gosh.
But he has the joke of the episode is that his boss, the guy that used to own the law firm, Phil Kenseven, who's played by Stephen Colbert, just becomes president, but no one remembers how. Yeah, he was just elected president. Yeah, it's so weird. Yeah, and so
that's never happened.
Exactly.
Before.
And so he's just elected president. He's like, you know, Harvey, I need you to come get me out, basically. And so Harvey Birdman has to go and figure out a way to get him to I forgot the term because I'm dumb, to kick out the president.
Impeach.
Impeach. There we go. I have a good vocabulary half the time.
When we're not sleep deprived.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a hit of this Red Bull real quick. Red Bull to the dome.
Jeez, Red Bull sponsored Jamie because I'm always.
I reached out. I'm actually. This is not a bit.
Did you see that tweet about Tommy Wiseau who was like, "I love Red Bull. Please sponsor me."
I would love nothing more.
I'll see if
he's an athlete.
It.
He plays football at his shows. They should sponsor him.
Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah, have you not seen that? He'll like play football with people at room showings.
What?
It's yeah, I want to go. That's like half the reason I want to go to LA.
Well,
they do throw
footballs around.
Yeah, apparently he's
movie.
Like obsessed with football because you know it's an American pastime. It's so strange.
Pissed.
No, I actually did reach out to Red Bull to see if they would sponsor me. They only take athletes, but I pitched myself very well. I had a very good pitch about how I'm like, look, comedians go up real late. Sometimes they pull all-nighters. Like,
true.
I was, like, pitching a comedian as an athlete, and they're like, no. I was very upset.
So Red Bull does athletes. I think Monster does musicians.
See, like, I don't drink Monster, though. I don't want to be disingenuous, you know? I can't sell out like that. If I'm
going to
sell out, it's going to be something I enjoy.
I actually prefer Monsters because they have those iced tea stuff. It's like tea lemonade. And like
oh,
tea.
Yeah. No, I tried those once and it gave me a headache.
It's probably the fucking aspartame.
Yeah, I think that's
real.
What it is. I'm not a fan of that. It's like I lost so much weight when I was in the UK because they just use aspartame and everything. So I just stopped drinking soda.
That's so bad.
I would drink like...
That's even worse than we are.
Yeah, I would drink like... I think maybe two different sodas when I was there, and I wouldn't even drink them a lot because one of them is like a hangover cure. It's called Iron Brew in Scotland. It's the best. It's imagine like a neon orange coolant, but a soda. Yeah. It's great. I love it, and I miss it. I miss it to this day.
I hate that.
Yeah, it was weird. No, so a thing that I would do, that, the next one on my list is the video game Fallout New Vegas. I do play video games. I'm not like one of those guys that's like, oh, all these studios. Like, I don't know mm-hmm. all of the information. All I know is that, like, they got contracted out and made a post-apocalyptic game using, like, sort of Las Vegas in the mm-hmm. future. It's really fun. And
weren't so I just played wearing, that. I think you had a Fallout suit at one point. Or like a
yeah, I have the whatever the last game that came out. It's not a costume. It's just a onesie. It's like pajamas.
Yeah, okay.
And
I
it's
remember
awesome.
That.
I love it.
I think you wore it one time when we went to IHOP, if I remember correctly.
Most likely. It wouldn't surprise me. yeah, it's I love the Fallout games. They're really fun. But this particular one, New Vegas... When I was in Scotland this last time, I moved back when I was 18, and I was there until I was like 20, I think. And I was just not where I was living was not good for me. It was really sort of poisonous, mm-hmm. and I was really depressed and not in a good place. And the place we were living, we also built a movie theater to like, you know, show movies. Because where we were living at the time,
another
was like,
thing your family does.
Yeah. It was like really rural, so they didn't have a movie theater.
What?
Yeah. Wow. They would have this thing, it was called the Screen Machine, which is basically like a semi truck that uh-huh. has seats in it and a screen and like widens out a little bit, which is cool, but it only comes like once every 2-3 months. And so we're like, well, we could just build a theater. Like we have the space, we have all the stuff, and we did it, and then no one would come to any movies. Mm. And it was just like, fuck you guys. Mm. Like it was like just the entire island, which is like, nah, because what you're competing with the Screen Machine. And we're like, what? Like
that
yeah.
comes to just
what? It was the whole
That's
thing.
It's like an episode of like Parks and Rec.
It's Parks and Rec is very
That's so funny.
Anything with any kind of having to relate to the public is terrible. I one of my friend's favorite quotes, she's like, I want this framed on a wall. I said it when I was like 18, and it's just been my motto ever since, which is the general public can go fuck themselves. And I just want that cross stitched on something. Yeah, so it was just like a really weird time. And so in the movie theater, I would just hook up my PlayStation to the projector and I would just play this game. I'd play that and like GTA 5 and just imagine being in LA. It was like the saddest thing of just like, oh, I'm gonna go to the store, like the Comedy Store, and like look at that, and like it was so sad and weird, and so I'd play that for hours, and then Fallout New Vegas, the music in it, the soundtrack for that is amazing, because it's like you'll have stuff like Marty Robbins, like hardcore country to Sinatra to mm-hmm. like I'm blanking on names, just like a bunch of like jazz standards mm-hmm. in it,
yeah.
and it was just such a good vibe to have at that time, because it's like kind of dark, because you know you're like shooting zombies and
yeah
it's like all this political undertone of like war could happen at any moment, but also like this song's really good and it's all silly and fun, and that was like a really sort of, I don't know, it helped my writing brain, because I also mm-hmm. I write a lot as well, and it sort of, I don't know what it was, but the sort of moods that it put me in, I'd go and write like 25 pages immediately afterwards. So it was like genuinely like the weirdest inspiration out of nowhere of playing a video game for like 3 hours straight in Scotland on an island, just like missing America and just starting to write stand-up and
You've missed America?
Plays. Yeah. It's,
wow.
That's the thing. It's the thing I get a lot of questions of.
Yeah,
of
yeah.
Like,
I was poking at you.
No, I know.
I think you told, your mom told us about it a little bit.
Probably,
I think at
yeah.
Walter's party, like
yeah.
Do you remember? Yeah,
it's an interesting outlook, because I do get that a lot.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, living there was just like really weird, and the politics, it surprised a lot of people.
That.
Of the politics over there is a lot weirder than it is here. Mm. Here it's pretty straightforward; you can understand it there, but or understand it here. In the UK, it's like there's number one, just their voting's weird, and everyone was getting really aggressive over Brexit. So it's just like it's really tense in the UK mm-hmm. right now. And so that was one of the reasons we left. And then just where we're living again, I just wanted to not be there ever again.
Yeah.
I met some of the best friends in the world, but I at least got that out of it. But the other stuff was just not fruitful to anything. And what's amazing, though, is I'm probably a better stand-up because of it. Because I had that, like, I guess, hunger of, like, I need to get back to the States and do this.
Yeah.
I don't want to be here anymore, you know. Because nothing inspires you more than not being able to do what you want to do, right? So it's just sort of one of those things that are frustrating. Like, I want to do comedy. I want to do shows. I can't. And then finally got back to the States, just immediately did it, and then haven't stopped. Or I stopped for, like, I think 3 or 4 months and then got back into it. But, like, Fallout New Vegas, of all things, like, helped me want to be a better writer, and which is so weird because it's, like, just a dumb video game.
Yeah.
But I love it. Let's see. What else I have? One of my favorite albums. It's just a good album. It's Song Cycle by Van Dyke Parks. Van Dyke Parks is just, like, a weird historical figure who's, like, written on everyone's album. Because he's worked with, like, he worked with the Beach Boys, well, particularly Brian Wilson and stuff. I think he's the one that showed Brian Wilson what acid was. So you got him to thank for that. He's just, like, this weird kid from the South who just, like, I'm going to go write show tunes. And then, like, worked with all these amazing people, to, like, Brian Wilson, to Joanna Newsom. And
I didn't know he worked with Joanna Newsom.
Yeah. I think he wrote, like, 2 or 3 songs on her last album. I think. I don't remember.
She was Harp,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Also married to Andy Samberg. Yeah.
I love Andy Samberg.
So great. It's such a weird... weird marriage, because she's, like, you know, a musician, and he's Andy Samberg. Like, it's so great. I love the juxtaposition of that. It's, like, she's in a Roots song. Like, you know what I mean?
And he's like, hey.
Yeah, and he's in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Great show, by the way.
So much. It's so fun. The move to NBC was wild, because they were on Fox originally. Now they're on NBC.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because Fox canceled all of these shows. And then NBC was like, hey, like, what's up? We have some excess money.
Well, NBC was also, like, 30 Rock, wasn't it?
NBC had 30 Rock. NBC was, like, the hub for comedy for a minute. Because they had a lot of really good shows.
Community,
this is
too?
A thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
My obsession with all the late night stuff then gave me an obsession with just TV. So I would, like, know, like, all this stuff about NBC. And it's so weird. Yeah, NBC was, like, the prime hub for comedy shows, and then something happened, and they just all went away.
Mm.
I think it was after Parks and Rec ended. They just kind of floundered for a minute. And then Fox bought all of these new shows and had Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Fox. Last Man on Earth, a couple other ones that I'm forgetting that I probably didn't watch. Just all of those, and then they still got The Simpsons and stuff. So it was, like, all this amazing stuff. And then NBC was just like, no, no. And then I think it was last year, Fox just canceled all these shows, and NBC just bought up all of these shows to continue them, which is impressive. So fun.
I haven't watched the newer seasons of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I want to, though.
I think they're on Hulu.
See, I don't have Hulu. I have everything else, but I've not.
Do you have Spotify?
No.
Okay, never
mind. Well, I have it, just not, like, premium or anything.
Oh,
like
okay.
Yeah.
Because I have...
I pay for Apple Music.
That's fair. Streaming. Everyone's like, Stephanie, you stream? You're, like, the last person that would stream. And I'm like...
It's... If you want to listen to something, you can listen to something. Like, it's not... Yeah.
I'm like, I know I'm not contributing to a good cause. Let me live.
Right. Although, I was at a show recently, and someone said that we're using Tidal. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
You downloaded that?
Yeah.
I've not used. Do you use Tidal or no? Yeah. Where do I get it? I don't even
I don't
where I would
know.
Get it. Do you have to go to a website?
Do you have to, like,
for it?
Talk to Jack White and be like, "Excuse me, I need the direct link."
Let me show you this guitar I made out of a bottle. That's a real thing. Have you seen that documentary?
Yes.
Yeah. It's that was the.
Do you
weirdest
know who you're
thing.
Talking to?
Yeah. No, I never know. You'd be surprised. I have this. I had to explain to someone who Death Cab for Cutie was recently. So I'm reeling right now with what people don't know. Actually, I've been telling that on stage.
I don't really care for Death Cab. Like, that
they're
kind
okay.
of indie.
No, well, the joke was it was how people felt things in 2003.
Oh.
It was them and Iron and Wine were the only ways you could feel in 2003.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else I got? This one's weird. It's a new kind of thing that I've been getting into. It's a movie called Playtime by Jacques Tati, who's a French kind of equivalent to, like, Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin. But he was in, like, the 40s, 50s, 60s. So he's much later than everybody else. Mm. But, like, a lot of physical jokes in it, you know, because he's, like, you know, a lot of physical comedy. But it's so smart and very well directed, and I don't know what it is about this movie, but it's like shot like a French art house movie almost, and then goes from that to like immediately like the most well rehearsed physical comedy I've ever seen. And it's just in a restaurant, and like all these different vignettes are happening within this movie. And I think it's like 2 hours long, almost no dialogue. It's French, but the words don't matter. It's like literally you're just watching, like voyeur, just watching from the sidelines as stuff happens. And I forgot his character's name. You know, he's got like his, you know, comedy character name. And it's just him like walking through a restaurant and just fucking shit up. And it's so funny. Like someone breaks a door at one point and then is holding like just the metal handle that's there. And then someone tries to open it like it's a glass door, but it's just him holding it. And so he's just moving it like he's the door. There's so much stuff that's just so funny in it. And it's so visual and it's so perfect. And I've been trying to get people to watch it because it's so unique. And I was like, I wish I was this funny with just my body. But there's no way to translate that. Like, he had to have taken dance lessons. Like, at some point, he's so unique in his physicality in the comedy. And it's fascinating me considering I'm like, my inspiration is like Eugene Merman of just talking and reading, like, a lot of the written word. And then to see someone go, I can make you laugh and not say a fucking word just because this chair made a noise. And I'm just going to, like, figure out what's making the noise for 10 minutes. And that's, it's funny the whole time. Yeah, very, very mime. I think he was a mime in like World War II, apparently.
Jacques Tati,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably where there's also like an old like movie he did, I think in like the late 40s after the war. And he's like painting a boat, and the boat's like kind of beached. Mm-hmm. And he's got a little paint can that's sitting in the water, and he's dipping his paint can in and painting. And then the waves take the paint can away. And it starts, like, drifting away.
Yeah.
And he's, like, you know, not paying attention, keeps going back. And then he looks over, like, he hears something to his left. And then he's not even paying attention, and the paint can comes back and then lands right next to him. And then he starts painting again. And just the rehearsal of that alone, of dealing with the ocean doing a joke for you, is unbelievable. I was showing my writing partner it, and we're just like, we could never write this well. Like, nothing we write will be as funny as him painting a boat.
Yeah.
You know, it's frustrating, to say the least.
You can always try.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something with comedy movies that are just, like, older ones of, I wouldn't say effortlessly funny, just funny for no reason. Mm. Like, there's no contextual... Well, I mean, there is of, like, situational comedy, but, like, it's so different now. Like, you couldn't do a practically silent movie based on physical comedy right now. You have to, like, you know, make bukkake jokes to, like, get a reaction from people now. And it's really, I don't know, it's really interesting. And a lot of the young comics that I know that are coming up are very much inspired by just, like, jokey joke, kind of cringe comedy. And it's weird because it's just, I don't see any progression in it.
Yeah,
and I'm that guy that at the open mics who just makes fun of everybody that likes Dave Chappelle. Like, I'm just that guy. I'm the hipster comic.
When I saw
comic
you
now.
Do your show, that's kind of what I felt like, was like kind of like that.
Yeah,
the cringe humor that I was like,
which is fine. Like, it's valid. Yeah. It's just not my bag. But a lot of the time, the heart isn't there.
Yeah,
because you can watch someone like Dave Attell or Jeff Ross do it, and it's fun and it's funny, but then you have like open micers do it, and it's just upsetting and
trite.
Yeah, yeah, it's just not fun.
Like, yeah, you're kind of just like...
Comedy sucks. Comedy sucks. I've been doing a thing lately.
My favorite... Go ahead.
No, every show I'm at, I just say I'm quitting comedy before I go on stage. Like, which apparently someone told me that in the new... one of the last episodes of Crashing with John Mulaney, that's a scene where he's, like, about to go on stage. And he's like, all I've ever wanted to do was be a comedian, and I hate comedy. I hate stand-up comedy. I'm like, that's me! I hate all
that
of my friends.
Very James Murphy, too.
Right?
Man,
I can't wait to turn 30 and just be real upset with how things went, because that's when everything's going to get good for me.
Marc Maron, is that you?
I tried to listen to a Marc Maron episode recently, could not do it.
I
know people
watch,
skip, but...
I can't watch his Netflix series because it's too, like, real, and it spooks
me. I see
me.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I've only seen one scene
this.
From it, and it was when he was yelling at his cat for shitting outside of the cat box. And I was like, this is great, and this is all I need from you. I want to see this version of Mark Maron, not the, like.
I just can't watch it. Like, I tried so fucking hard.
I don't want to see the shut the gates Mark Maron. I want to see him yelling at his cat.
I was working overnights at a crisis center. And
wow.
And so, like, not much happens overnight at a crisis center.
But I know who will cheer me up. Mark Maron.
Yeah. So, I'm such a dumbass. So I was watching. Stop.
You know who's really going to cheer me up right now? Yakov Smirnoff.
So
tell me about Russia,
Oh, damn it. I was going through his series by my, because you're by yourself at the crisis.
Yeah, oh.
So
oh,
I'm
man.
Just like.
You're by yourself with Mark Maron, too.
I think that's all I need to say. I'm not even going to finish the story.
No, yeah, that's very funny.
So I think that's part of the reason I can't.
No, I never. Like, I respect him, but I've never, like, gotten into his comedy.
It's just too real.
Like, I don't know. I just don't know.
Not too real. It's just, like,
there's so much animosity that I'm just not
I just see so much of myself in him because he's, like, a sad, insecure.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck.
No, I was, like, listening to a podcast he was on, like, as a teenager. And I remember one where it was him and a very young Kumail Nanjiani. And, you know, who's now been, like, nominated for an Oscar. It's super crazy. And it's just they just like kind of fight for like 15-20 minutes on this podcast. It's like Doug Loves Movies, and so you have Doug Benson who's stoned out of his mind going like like, oh wow, this is weird, and then just Mark Maron and Kumail like
fighting
bitterly, like snapping back at each other the whole time. It's very uncomfortable and hilarious. He's, at the same time,
like, there's a, like, in his podcast, he'd be like, yeah, this week in therapy, I talked about blah, blah, blah.
That's, like, every comedian now. Every comedian I like is like, yeah, talk about your feelings. It's really funny. I listen to this podcast.
I think that's why I've been kind of more into comedy lately, because I'm like, bitch, me too.
Yeah, because everyone's sad now, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, I'm glad we're talking about
straight
it.
Straight upset. Although, I do, like, yeah, so there's, like, a fad, kind of. Like, you have sort of things people talk about in comedy that get popular, and mental health was a thing that people have been talking about the last like 5 years or so. It's been really popular. Yeah. Whereas before it was like people would try to write a certain way. Now people are going a certain way as well with the writing. And I'm also starting to see like a resurgence of people who are just trying not to address things, of like, I'm not trying to make a statement about mental health or politics, like just independent of everything, which is really interesting to see. People honestly get tired of that, like, trying to offend you, trying to make a statement about Trump or things like that. Like, there's a podcast I listen to called Never Seen It, which is just, you have people just write a script from what they think a movie is that they haven't seen.
And
it's just pure, simple, and fun, and silly, and that's it. And I've never really meshed well with, like, the Mark Maron type of comedy of just, like, you know, I got this to say. You know, I have a 5-minute joke about Winnie the Pooh, you know. Like, I'm not trying to, I've never really meshed well with Mark Maron, honestly. I'm sure if I meet him, I'll be absolutely terrified. We'll see.
Let's see. He's very strong in opinions.
Yeah, which I am too.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, I'd probably end up fighting Mark Maron.
Yeah. I feel like, I love him. I feel like this is very Stephanie. I love him, but, like, I just can't.
You love
he's
him because he's
strong.
Like, yeah.
And I'm, you know, I'm very, like, timid and neurotic, and, like, I just.
It's like liking certain punk bands of, like, I know this isn't good, but it's good.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, or I know this is
it's
misguided.
Kind of like, I guess.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm basically done with my list, but I have one more, which is just anything by Jerry Paper. I've been really into him lately. He's this guy out of L.A. He's on Stone's Throw Records, and he's just fucking good. His last album just came out. It's like probably in my top 10 favorite albums right now. It's called Like a Baby. It's just so good. It's so good. And then his previous album is called Toontime Raw, which I've been listening to nonstop lately, which is it's him, and then the all the music is him and Bad Bad Not Good, which is they're amazing as well. And it's a concept album, which is basically like BoJack Horseman meets Friends.
That's
does that make
sense?
Yeah. It
doesn't make any sense.
No. And a lot of his music is like Beck and Tears for Fears type music.
Oh, that's so you, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But with a jazz band.
That's so
yeah,
you.
Yeah. And so,
like
all these
the
songs
most Jamie
are.
Thing.
Yeah.
That was written for you, Jamie.
Basically, yeah. Because I was.
Did you commission this?
I might as well have. It's And it was exactly what I needed right now. I got broken up with in February, and then it's like a song about a cow who broke up with a llama and misses him. And I was like, this song's so good.
It's Are you great. Sure you didn't commission this? Like,
I, dude, I'm telling you, it's such a good album. Breakup, yeah, it was. Okay. Yeah, Toontime Raw. It's like one of the opening songs is called Ginger and Ruth, and it's about Ginger the cat who's just like having an existential crisis, and her girlfriend, which is a bear, I think, just like, honey, calm down. Yeah,
that's
and
me
it's
as fuck.
Yeah, it's
I'll be like Jamie.
Great. It's so good. It's exactly what I needed. It's yeah. such a good album. Like, musically, it's such a good album. And he's such an amazing lyricist, too. Mm. Of, like, one of my favorite writers is also Stephen Merritt, as far as lyrics goes, with Magnetic Fields. His writing is just so good. And then, like, they're on par with, like, Dolly Parton, in my opinion, of, like, just mm-hmm. lyrics. They're such good writers. And Jerry Paper has such a unique sort of writing style. And in his new album, he has a song about just being in a parking lot next to Ralph's in LA. It's great. And then there's another one of just talking about how I may not have much in this world, but I know that I have my phone and my car are the only things I actually own. Like, everything else is not mine. But this car and my phone are always here for me, and sure. that's all I have.
That's
He's
all
like,
you
yeah.
need.
And then he talks a lot about the bomb. Of just, like, how just everything could go away at any minute, so he calls it the bomb. And then capitalism and God. That's, like, topics he talks about in a lot of his songs. He's great. I love him. Jerry Paper.
That's so Jamie.
He's the
I
best.
Love it.
Yeah. He has one of my favorite songs on the album is called My God on Like a Baby. And it's basically about how he's got all of his receipts together, so when he dies, he can give all the receipts to God. So I've been listening to that a lot lately.
How did you discover this person?
I'm a huge fan of Stone's Throw Records.
Okay.
I like all the hip-hop stuff that came off of it, and obviously like MF Doom, things like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And got really into Mild High Club over the last summer. And just sort of like kept up, and then they released a bunch of promos for his last album, or his newest album, Like a Baby. And I think it was the music video that they did for Your Cocoon, which is the opening song on it. And I was like, this is fucking weird. Mm-hmm. Like, this shouldn't work. Mm-hmm. It's a very strange synth catch. And I like didn't like it at first, and then it got stuck in my head, and I'm like, this is a fucking genius song, like this is really good.
Yeah.
And it just sort of went from there, and then I got the album when it came out, and I was like, this is amazing. And then I just sort of did a deep dive.
Cool.
Although all of his early stuff is way too esoteric for me. It's like clearly like someone who's very good with their cheap synth that they have. But it's like not musically not for me. But as soon as he did like the Toontime Raw stuff of like full on backing band, a little less synths and like more just literally as a jazz band playing behind him is just so good. It's so good.
I'll check him out.
Yeah, definitely. He's up
Make
there
me
on
a
my
playlist.
Yes, definitely. and then I've been listening to Tame Impala a lot lately as well.
I never
I don't know
got
why.
Into them.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I think for me it was just kind of like the type of person that would listen to them and kind of gave me
for sure
a sour taste in my mouth because it was very much of like indie bro dudes, like kind of
right.
trying to
people who read Pitchfork,
yeah,
like go out of their way to read
who were trying to like test my music knowledge and stuff.
Yeah.
And I just kind of like,
now that
okay.
it's kind of past that,
yeah.
And
I mean,
just
like Kevin Parker's a fucking genius.
Oh,
I've done
dude.
My research, like,
yeah.
on because I was like, okay, I should probably educate myself on
right.
this. I go to music school. That guy's a yeah. fucking genius,
just,
no doubt, but I'm just kind of like, guys.
Just the fact that his last album was inspired because he was listening to the Bee Gees on cocaine and mushrooms.
I didn't know that.
And he's, like, quoted as
wow,
saying that, and that's
amazing.
Like, okay, hell yeah,
Did
man.
Did you see, I think it was him and his, like, wife, they got married. I don't even remember, but, like, I remember reading that they got married, and they, like, they bought, like, burgers from McDonald's or something like that.
Hell yeah.
I think that's good. I think it was Kevin Parker. I'm almost certain it was.
That makes sense. Another one, I don't address it much. Like, I don't talk about it this much, but I kind of realized recently how much I love Toro y Moi.
Did you not know this?
No, I knew.
I could
like,
have told you that.
Yeah, like, I don't know why. It's, like, because I would, like, listen to him all the time.
Yeah.
But it was never, like, I never talked about it like I talked about LCD Sound System or made fun of, like, Morrissey. Like, it was never a thing that I would, like, constantly bring up.
I think with me it was.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe because I know you like care about music at least. Where all my friends are just like, yeah, why are you telling me about this guy? But yeah, Tori Moi has been
my
just...
My friend Chase really loves him.
He's amazing. I don't quite love his new album. Mm. It's a little bit too... I don't know, it just feels kind of... This is going to sound too dumb. Like, kind of inspired by pop right now.
Yeah, that's right.
And I just don't like the pop music. Like, the weird way that the genre of pop is moving right now is just very strange to me, and I don't understand it.
Like, the kind of...
Just, like super simplistic to a degree of, like, there nothing is happening, and then, like...
Okay.
But not in a cool way. Not like you had Sly and the Family Stone simplistic, and then you have
That was like simplistic, but like
good.
Yeah.
And then you just have like hand claps and
yeah
a bass line, and then people like you know top 40. It's just something I don't quite get.
Mm-hmm.
So this new one, I like a couple of singles off of it, but the rest of it's like very trap heavy, and I'm like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
But like Underneath the Pine is a perfect album, and Anything in Return is. Such a good album. But Underneath the Pine has been on repeat lately. Just all day, every day. Are you dwindling? You look like you're getting much more tired than we are. Oh, no.
My eye. I'm just trying to, like, play it cool. This is why I don't
just
record
do it into the microphone.
ASMR, my eye rubs. I hope it picks it up.
Right. That's one thing about, like, soundproof booths is I feel like they would just attract a lot of dust and pollen because everything's fabric.
Fair.
Do you have to beat these out when you're done with them, like get all the dust out? Never mind.
I was like, what?
I'm also tired. My riff brain is losing power.
You know, I wanted to say this earlier, but you know what my favorite like memory of you is? You were at a fucking IHOP, and
that's the best story start.
the waitress, I can't remember like what brought this up, but you were like, "Oh yeah, I'm a comedian," and she's like, "Oh yeah, tell me a joke," and you're like, "That's not how it works."
Right? Yeah.
I lost it. And she's like, "Oh okay," and she like leaves and comes back and tells us a joke about like.
Oh no! Yeah, I do remember that.
About
now.
Like Nazi Germany or something.
Oh wow! I don't remember that.
No,
wow.
It was like.
Like a roughen. Like a rough joke?
Maybe it wasn't Nazi. I think it had to do something with, like, Jewish.
Fun.
No, it was about the shooting of MLK.
Oh, my God.
Do you not remember that?
No.
I can't remember the joke, but it went something like, what did Martin Luther King dream about? And I was like, what? And she was like, nothing, because he got shot.
That's not even good. That's not even a good joke.
I looked
that's
at
just
you
sad.
And I blurted out laughing because I got so nervous.
Yeah, that's wild.
And we got, like, everyone there.
You
like,
work at a restaurant, ma'am. That's insane.
But she's like, no, I'm black. I can say it.
That
I
is
looked at you and I was like, gee.
Wow.
Why did this keep
I'm
happening?
Surprised I don't remember that. I think I blocked that out.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I remember other stuff of, like, us going to IHOP, like, after seeing The Room and stuff and just, like, being in tears laughing, like incapable of inhaling laughing.
Yeah.
But also just completely sober, just like a cup of coffee, and we're like, like, this is some great
I think
ones,
that's all
yeah.
we could afford was a coffee. Or
yeah.
And then Walter wanted to go to like B-dubs, and we're like, damn.
Yeah, you know when you want to just make yourself hurt, you go to B-dubs.
I don't
get it.
Yeah, you know Walter.
No. It's so...
No.
That place is evil. I'll say it. I'll say it.
No
down with B-dubs.
Down with... Did I tell you about the one time I accidentally said B-W-W? No. B-B-W, I think.
Oh, oh. That makes more sense. That's, like, that's funnier. Like, I like that a lot.
Someone's like, Stephanie.
Oh, yeah, let's go there.
And they were like, do you know what that is? And I was like, Buffalo Wild Wings. And I'm like...
Wrong one. Wrong. That's really funny.
They had to explain it to me because I didn't know what it was.
Buffalo Wild Wings also, there was like originally another, no, it's not good. There was also like, I think it's called Weck. There was like, it used to be another, like another W on it. And Weck is like a specific
what?
New York food thing. I don't know what it is. I've heard of it.
Mm.
I can only assume. I'm sure it's something also that just makes you, your stomach lining go away. I can only assume. That's what all the rest of the food at Buffalo Wild Wings does.
That's
How did
true.
We get here? How did we get to Buffalo Wild Wings? Goodness me.
Walter.
Walter, right? It's poisoning us all.
Oh, damn it. Before we end, can we talk about how much we love Punch Up the Jam? And
Punch Up This Jam is the best.
Yeah, and everyone should listen to that.
Everybody should listen to Punch Up The Jam.
It's Demi's hosted by a fucking Melbredo genius. And we'll Demi DiJuebe. we'll tag them in this and be like,
they're heroes, they're legends. I can't wait until Demi gets an EGOT. Because for sure, he's the type of person to do that. He's amazing. I found out about Punch Up The Jam in an awesome way, which was seeing them live at South by Southwest.
Yeah.
At a podcast.
I listened to that, the recording of that, because they posted it on their podcast. Yeah. And I didn't hear you scream, because you screamed something. I can't remember what it was, but I didn't hear you scream.
At the end, he mentioned a disco song and no one claps but me. And he goes, thank you, one guy. Yeah, I was like, what's up?
I didn't hear that, because you told me about that. And I was listening to it, wanting to hear that, and I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
But I was I knew where it was.
Yeah. And then after that, after the show, I ended up talking to him about disco for 15, 20 minutes. And Steely Dan.
I feel he would be one of those people that were.
Oh, he's really nice. My writing partner got a photo with him and Miel.
Yeah.
And I was I should have gotten one, but I didn't really know who they were at the time.
Regrets.
Yeah, instead I have a nice conversation with them.
But I feel he'd be the type of person that wears a gold chain with a button up and bell bottoms at the club and just starts dancing.
Oh, man. No, I know that he wears a red blazer all the time, like a velvet blazer, which is pretty tight.
I love that. Yeah.
I want to get one of those. I found just total side note, I found a green crushed velvet blazer recently, and I couldn't get, I didn't have enough money for it on me. It was cash only. And I'm so sad I didn't get it, because I want to look like the Riddler, you know?
Yeah.
I want to lean into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody should listen to Punch Up The Jam always and forever.
Yes. Demi did the It's Been Vine.
We got you, Ben.
It's Been.
He's also the guy that did the Vine, which was, you know, I'm an adult, and when I drop my chips on the ground, I don't cry about it. That's Demi.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's him.
Oh, I forgot about that Vine.
Yeah, him and Miel were both Vine stars, but they're the ones that, made it out in a positive way.
Mm.
You know, they're not, terrible people or annoying or, you know, the Paul, Logan Paul brothers, or whatever their name. I don't know their
Yankees.
Names. Yeah, they made it out. They made it positive. And then Miel is the person, which is, I can't sit anywhere. I have hemorrhoids. And so she went from that to this weird little music podcast.
So
great. I love that show.
They're so good. Their punch ups are phenomenal.
Beautiful.
My favorite one, I think, is still Mambo.
Mambo Number 5. Oh, man. I think that's
one
of
the hardest
times.
Oh, they did Cure one, too.
That's right. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
No, I still think Mambo's got to take the cake, because the trumpet one where it just.
Oh, I lost it.
Just about him wanting to fuck a trumpet.
I'm so excited. No, it hasn't come out yet, but the one they just recorded with that Trap Cowboy song that Billy Ray Cyrus did with, what's his name, Lil...
I don't know.
I can't even say it, because every time I read it, I just laugh.
I've not joined the SoundCloud rapper.
I hate our generation.
Yeah, I have a joke that I think I've done it once, but SoundCloud rappers are so confusing to me, because they do the minimum, writing-wise, all this stuff, right? They're not... It's not to say it's invalid. It's just they're not doing as much writing as they could be doing lyrically, but then they'll go on these shows with going Jimmy Fallon with a full 30-piece band, a huge band. They were experts at their thing, and they're just sitting on a stool and there's a guy in the back who's I've been playing piano for 30 fucking years, and I have to play for this dude. It's such a weird concept to me of a 17-year-old boy with all these older people who are just fluent in an instrument, and they're it's so wild to me.
It's surreal.
Yeah.
I feel if I were to describe our generation, our experiences and humor, it'd be surreal.
You see a lot of people describing it as dadaist or dadaist, whatever. I don't know how to pronounce it. I've only read it. I've never heard it.
Data. I say data.
Data?
I've heard dada. But data.
See, dada seems right to me, but I also say aunt, so I don't know.
Oh, you're
it
one
might
of
just
those.
Be I'm one of those. I grew up in the UK. I have to say things. Yes. That's what everyone thinks. They don't say it. So
I say it. I'm not scared of you, Jamie O. Clark. Jamie Lynn.
Yeah, no. As far as the humor with our generation, it's very strange. I'm not meme-y. Not really. Yeah. I dab. It's an ironic dab. I like to call myself the fastest dab in the West. I don't know why. I don't know where it came from. It's just a thing I've been doing. Yeah, I don't love it either, but it's a funny thing. I don't know why, it's just been a thing I've been doing on stage, and it's been making me giggle. Apparently, I did a set recently where I found it was at an Italian restaurant because comedy's hard, and there was just a giant pepper mill in the restaurant, and so I just brought it on stage and talked about it for like 3 minutes, and apparently I dabbed on that set. I don't remember dabbing. Apparently I blacked out. I don't remember dabbing, wow. But I dabbed on a black pepper mill. Yeah. Showing that pepper mill his boss, you know?
Powerful.
Yeah, that's like the most alpha thing you could do, I think, is get on stage and dab into
assert
a microphone.
Assert your masculinity. Pew, 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 pew.
You have to make those noises, too.
I'm so pissed. Yeah. Pew.
Well, it started off as a thing where I would count how many dabs I've done. I think I'm like 70 now. I'm
I've
up
done
there.
Way more than
yeah.
that.
Yeah. But I just
well,
love the fact that I'm
keeping
track.
I started doing them ironically because I was like, whatever. And now I just can't stop.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too.
So I'm like, hey, everyone, dab.
At least I'm not flossing. I don't have the coordination for that. So
I tried to teach you to floss and it's just.
That's right. Yeah. No, I was just like, I can't do it. I can't do it.
We can rehearse after this. We'll have time. We'll take a video for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh,
it'll
man.
It'll go on the Insta.
I love it. Oh man, yeah, that's all I got.
Jamie, where can we follow you in your comedy?
On Instagram and Twitter, I'm at Dustpunk, 2 T's, 2 K's, one word. And then you can just see whatever shows I post there. I post whenever I'm doing shows and stuff like that. Come to Sauced at Paseo on Thursdays.
Their pizza's really fucking good.
I co-host the. I am part two of the Comedy Daddies duo, and we host that. We host that mic. It's really fun. It's a really good time. And come to Othello's in Norman on Tuesdays at 10. It's super fun. It's really fun. It's a good show. And sometimes I host that as well. I think that's all I have.
Yeah.
I don't know. When does this come out? Because I have another show. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I'm going to beat Travis Phillips. Yeah. Yeah, no, then it's for sure. I'm going to beat Travis Phillips in a roast battle tomorrow. So so he's going to die.
Oof.
Yeah, because I'm a better writer than he is.
Rip.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so weird to, like, switch from, like, you know, comedy to, like, I'm going to kill a man with my words.
Powerful.
Powerful.
Very powerful.
Yeah, so hopefully the roast battle goes well. We'll update you.
Tomorrow, Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be able to make it.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. It's fine. I don't have gas to get there, so we'll have to figure it out.
That's a mood.
That's
a fucking mood.
The most comedian thing ever. Yeah, I don't have enough gas to get to my show tonight.
That's a musician thing, yep. too.
At least I don't have to carry anything. All right, I'm tuckered. I'm so tired.
Me too. Thanks for coming on, Jamie.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right.